Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. How are you guys faring? All right, so the Lord laid a beautiful topic in my heart. I think from yesterday. Alright, so scriptures that we'll use reference, Galatians 1:10, Matthew 6, and I want to be more detailed these days because I want you people to understand these things easily. If not, this is not my normal style of teaching. I just come and point. When I started hearing certain questions, I was like, I think we should be more elaborate and arranged. So Galatians 1:10, Matthew 6, 1-6. 16-18, Matthew 6:1-6, Matthew 6:16-18, also John 5:44, John 15:18-19. After John 5:44, we have John 15:18-19, Colossians 2:20-23, Colossians 2:20-23. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. All right, so let's start from Galatians 1:10. Now, let's read the scripture. I had a friend who told me something when he listened to our sermons and knew me, of course, from basic days. You know, he said, I believe most people in your church will be theologians. And I said, I hope so. Because sometimes where the thing is more available, you see people not even taking it serious. Are we together? Listening to me growing up till now, he said he feels like when he comes to my place, he'll find a lot of theologians. And we're in a generation so full of activities. They don't know how to discern and stand with what truly matters. We love noise. You know, what looks like something that is not even anything. Are we together? That's one of the major problems we have in this generation. The patience to, you know, the ability to discern what is true. The patience to stay with what is true. I think this generation has a problem of being themselves. They don't know how to be themselves. They are not bold enough to just be themselves. I think I will touch these things today, a few of them probably, as God will help us. But that's one major thing, especially with my line, ministry. We're talking with a young minister. And just sharing some concerns, respectfully. And at a point, he said, but man of God, how can we ever come to this point? So I said to him, you just do the good work wherever you are. He said, well, it's not enough. I said, you are wrong. It is enough. The Bible likens the parable of the kingdom, you know, to a yeast or yeasts. Can you remember? That even though it is small, it has great effect. Are we together? So this kingdom message is so powerful. If you read the book of Matthew, is it Matthew 15? It said, when the word of the kingdom was sown, the enemy came and stole it. Can you remember that part of scripture? Matthew 13 verse what? I said, I will beat you people one day in this church. If you are giving me scripture, you are raising my hope up. Finish what you have started. Matthew what? Thank you. I say Matthew 13, 20. We'll just come and press your nose. All right. Matthew what? 33. Please, we are not seeing anything here. Ah. 21, okay. It's me, they are doing like this in front, like this. Hey, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is public disgrace. All right, who has a phone here that has data? Just hear what I will say. Write it very fast, please. Woe to a man that put his faith in the man, the Bible says. So, right, when they hear the gospel of the kingdom and do not understand it, Alright, give me verse 19. Who said 19? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Give me verse 19. Alright. Can we clap for the person that said 19? Yeah, they all got it wrong. Hi. I need to clear cages in my head. All these things are hidden inside of me. Because I said, let me test you people, you now confuse me. When anyone hears the word of a kingdom and does not understand it, you see that? Then the wicked one comes and what? Snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Okay? Meaning he was not focusing. He was by the wayside. He was doing another thing while receiving the word of God. As some people hear. I promise favor something. I've not done it. I'm feeling guilty as I'm looking at you. Miss favor after church. I'll do what I promise. I'm supposed to call someone and pray with the person so after church. Alright, you know, Jesus actually went late to Lazarus. But when he went, things changed. My God. Alright, so where was I? Yes. What was sown in his heart, this is he who received. Alright, so I was saying some people, they are listening to the word of God and thinking about their problems. And sometimes they think the problem they are thinking about justifies them being unfocused. As I'm talking now, you are thinking of your rent. You may seem so serious, but you are just being foolish. As I'm talking now, you are thinking of your food you can eat. It may look serious, but in the realm of the spirit, you are not disciplined to God. You should focus on the word right now. Alright? Now, there were pains on the legs of the people. They were poisoned by a snake in the book of John 3. But God told Moses, he said, now, of course, it happened in the Old Testament, but Jesus rephrased that in John 3. He said, just as the snake was lifted up in the wilderness, will the Son of Man be lifted up? And doesn't matter what's happening in their system, as long as they looked on to Jesus, the pain in their system had no what effect. So today, if you can just give us a moment of your time, just look unto Jesus. Whatever is happening will have no effect in you and on you, finally. Tell somebody, finally. So stop thinking. Bible even asks you, said, who through thinking will change anything? In summary, has thinking ever changed anything? He said, take no thought by asking God useless questions. If you've taken a thought from the devil, you ask God, how can these things be? Do not take a thought. Meaning, if you've taken a wrong thought from Satan, you're going to ask God, how can this? That's Matthew 6, I'm quoting now. Do not take a thought by saying. Now, they didn't tell you who you shouldn't take a thought from, but you should understand. Do not take any thoughts in your heart by what? Say, how can this? You can't ask the El Shaddai, how can things be? He is the multi-breasted one. That's a wrong question. You can't stand before God and say, how should we do it? What? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He said, you got to understand that you have a Father in heaven. That's the answer. Instead of saying, how can this thing be? Allow your Father to figure it out. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because He's your Father. And if He's your Father, He's responsible for your well-being. The reason why you don't see the hand of God is because it is not settled in your consciousness that God is your Father. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, yeah, the scripture said God is your Father, but are you seeing yourself that way? That's what brings about this, the Word of God into manifestation. Yes, it is written that He's your Father. But your thinking is wrong. You are not thinking that He is your Father. It is just written and it is in the Bible. So that it is in the Word of God does not mean it's supposed to happen for you. The Word of God must be in your heart and in your mouth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? So it is that thinking that brings God's hand and His person to functioning and happening for you as your Father, or as a father should do for his child. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So do not take a thought from Satan that will cause you to finally say, God, how can these things be? Just know that you have a Father in heaven. So if I have people here that know that God is their Father, they will not be thinking anyhow. So thinkers don't know that God is their Father. Thinkers, unnecessary thinkers. I'm not saying when you are thinking God's word or chemistry or physics or maths. Unnecessary thinkers. They don't know God is their Father. They only read books and they left it there. They are forgetful hearers of the word. And that's why a lot of times I see people, I ask them, why are you thinking? Why are you thinking much? You know, it is proof you don't believe the word of God. The Bible says if your heart is stayed upon God's word, He will keep you in perfect peace. It is called shalom, shalom. In the Hebrew, it is peace on every side. Somebody who has peace on every side is smart. It's looking sharp. Is happy. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So I've got peace on every side. They don't look worried. They look smart. I was ministering to a lady years ago in Kaduna. She lost someone in her family. Very sad. And sometimes I think Christians don't like to be honest. Let me not say Christians, let me say human beings. So, she was so young and she loves the Lord, just coming not so long into the faith. And some sort of third, fourth born. So, when the dad died, the elder sister, alright? 2 days later, it's a funny story, but it's true. Was seen camping in the house of one of the soldiers in the back. She came to meet the soldier like 2 days after her father died. Right? And the news spread like this one that the father died. You know how people talk. So I go everywhere. Something wrong with this. And someone now said maybe she's even happy that her father died. He had probably been stopping her from going out. And the truth is that it seemed like she got pregnant, I think, less than a year. started showing everywhere. She gave birth to children. The reason why the story is so funny is because the child's name is Simon. So my friends used that to laugh at me very well. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because there was a situation before now, which I will not share the story. Now, that young lady was wondering if God is faithful. So we're speaking and I said, God is very faithful. Say, if God is faithful, why did my father die? Very tricky question. And I like questions. I like tough questions. Because whether we like it or not, we can't run away from it. If you like, run away from it today. Tomorrow, one small boy will ask you that question. So you better just prepare to answer every question. You see, this younger generation, you think they are not thinking. Why do you think there's a lot of suicide? A lot of unanswered questions. You can't listen to Tupac so that trauma will go away from you. Or Jay-Z. Or Thames. Or Ayasta. Alright? You can listen to them for a while and feel excited. Immediately you are done, you are back to trauma. Okay? And that's why people smoke, listen to worldly songs, do all sorts of stupid things. Just to satisfy their soul, yet there's no satisfaction. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? So, I think someone asked me a question one time again. Pastor, there was a certain man of God so influential who died. Why did this man of God die? Naive, fervent, young Christian. Why did this man of God die? Very serious question. I didn't take it so serious like that Christian, because I felt like I have my answers. But Chris called me from the house. I came to campus, sat down. Sir, I have a disturbing question. What's the question? Why did so man of God that just died? I said, is that why you called me? He said, yes, sir. The Holy Spirit told me that's a very important question for that person. You may have your answers. This person is wondering, having heard the gospel and all that. Alright? Then there was a popular man of God who died in BSU that time. They now asked me another question. Why did this one too die? Very popular that time. There were a lot of rumors. For the reason he died. Now, I don't know which one is true, so I'm not even saying any of them. But he died. That's the point. Are we together? So, they now started confronting my team. But you teach this and see that the person was still comforting. I said, hey, that's what I see now. And that's God's word. Then I quoted Charles Spurgeon. If everything is good, it's God. If it's not good, it's man's fault. And I said, do you believe this? She said, what do you mean? Do you mean man's error caused it? I said, strongly, yes. Even though it's so hard for me to tell you this, yes. Because it will paint some wrong pictures. What do you mean by that? Are you even getting what I'm trying to say? You know, let me give you an instance. Imagine the young man, let's take his name to be X. He's so fervent in church. He looks fervent, sorry, in church. I think it's same. His English language is okay. He looks fervent in church. He's so fervent in church, but he's not what we think he is. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And for a long time, the person has been pretending. But anytime the person comes to church, the person looks what? Fervent. Just take for instance as somebody who was in Jerusalem and knew Judas as the treasurer of Jesus' ministry, goes away for a long time and came back only to hear that Judas died of suicide. What would that person think if he didn't know all the whole story? He would now say, God is not faithful. If somebody will walk with God can kill himself, how about me? But there was more to that story. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There was something wrong with Judas. Even though he was the company of Jesus, he loved money and was stealing what? Money. Now, I'm not saying what I'm saying to make anybody look bad. Alright? It's just regular knowledge by the Spirit, general. That when the edge is broken, the serpent will strike. And listen, sometimes these people don't necessarily need to do anything bad in terms of obvious wrong. They only need not to be awakened to their spiritual senses. Now, there are people who are Christians, they teach quite some nice motivational teachings, but they are not awakened spiritually. I don't know if you guys are getting what I'm trying to say. I saw someone posted this. I think we have spoken about this, and the day we taught on this, I think there was a practical example with Mr. Godwin in the media room, that when you learn to hear God in little things, you hear him major things. He will profit you in major things. And the person was like, he said, listening to God starts with taking a, is it choosing a dress to wear to church or something like that. I saw it come to that point where he will not tell you that's so much, Mary. But since you've started hearing God, all right, start hearing God from the basic. When he tells you who to marry, it will be easy, because you are sure of his voice. But if you never started hearing him for basic things, when it comes to major decisions, you will not know. Huh? Do you know the Holy Ghost can tell you this car is about to have an accident, don't enter? Huh? We're coming from Kefi. I told you the story, and a woman was disturbing that she must sit in that chair. Pastor Ed fought, you know, he did all of it here because, you know, there were supposed to be 5 people there. We paid for 2 seats so that it's just 3 people, right? That means it will be 3 people there? Or 4 people? No, if I pay for 2 seats, it is 3 people with me, 4, so that I will sit comfortable, you know. And I wanted to even pay for the whole seats, but people were already there and they are insisting they must go. So the woman said she has to enter, even though we already paid for, and it was quite tight. So I told him to allow, but he kept on persisting. And when I observed that the woman, and I said, well, let's go. I just heard the Holy Ghost say, leave. So I said, let's go. I said, hope it's not because of problems I'm even going. But the Holy Ghost said, go. So I said, let's go. Sister, I said, let's go. So we went to the front, and coincidentally, they did not told us just 2 spaces. We didn't even mind the space. We just entered 1, 2, and we left. I think they left before us, right? They left, so we came. We had to wait for somebody, and I had to pay another seat so that they can move fast. These ones were already gone for like 5 minutes, there about 2 to 5 minutes. So we're coming at their back, and everybody started shouting, "Hey, whoa!" People were on the ground, blood. You know, the woman too, blood on the head. You know, the cask. What's it called? Road safety or something? Carrying people to their clinics, and everybody there started turning to look into my eyes. Like, is this a coincidence? Is not this young man? You know, I mean, sorry, the people in that car. When I turned and raised my head, some of them were pointing at me. The young man who said he will not enter. The young man who said he will not. Now, it looks like a coincidence. But the reason why it looks so ordinary is because it has become part of our daily life, our daily routine. When you joke with things like this, you think you are doing God. See what God promised you. He said, what a man sow, he must reap. If you reap of the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh what? Corruption. You see, if you sow to the spirit, you will reap of the spirit what? Eternal life. I mean, this life, you will enjoy it. You see the fullness of it. So for me now, there were days I just was hearing God for hearing God's sake. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It was not necessarily for money. I would just wake up, God would say, pray. I'll wake up, God would say, do this one. Sometimes God would say, log in. I mean, do this. Log in on this. Do this. I remember I caught one of my choir members those days as a choir master. She was misbehaving on to go. Doing stupid things. The Lord told me her username. I took it down. I put it. As I sent request, she accepted. She now, I said, and I saw the name. I called the name. She said, Jesus Christ. She blocked me. Before when she blocked my name, called her, I said, we meet in church by 2 p.m. Everything was done. Now, if God never permitted me to catch her on to go, she would have been destroyed. If you see what choir member put on status that time, oh my God. I'll be sleeping. The Lord will wake me up. I remember this man's name, Han Eth, such a stubborn man. I said, thus says the Lord, this. He said, tell the Lord, I'm not interested. You're not the first person telling me this. I told the Lord one. I told the Lord, I'll do it 7 times. The last time, I'll block this man. Another time, thus says the Lord, this. He said, tell the Lord, I am not interested. Is it by force? I said, 2. And he got to the 7 as he was saying it. I said, thank you, Lord. I blocked him. I don't know if it was right or wrong, but I blocked him. There was one again in around Sabo. The guy drinks, smokes anyhow. Father, very wealthy man with NMPC. So we were on this BB, what do you call it? What's the name? BB charts, right? Huh? Yes. Pinyin, whatever. But it's Blackberry charts. Where do you say ping me? And I said to him, thus says the Lord. You know, they were laughing at me that I'm a prophet and I'm too young and I'm supposed to be enjoying my life. I'm doing prophecy. I'm praying in tongues. So, and the Lord now sent me to such person to talk to him. That's the hard side of the prophetic. God will send you to somebody that you wish you can beat to advise. You know, somebody who has mocked you, God will say, go and tell him. So I said, I see you dead. So brutal. Haven't told him the first one yet. I said, I see your father on the wheelchair. He shouted, Jesus Christ. So person told you. I said, no. He said, I beg, they told you, Jerry. I said, all right. I see you dead if you don't repent. He now laughed and shared the message to a friend. The friend now says, you are telling people they will die. What's wrong with you? I said, Paul says, the Lord, he needs to repent. The next day, guess what happened to this young man? He went somewhere in Kaduna. Was talking to the lady they went to look for something. I don't know. The area boys were angry. They carried plank, hit him on the back of his head. He fell there and died. That was his end. I mean, we get what I'm trying to say. There are days I cried in my room alone because I told people this is it. They neglected. They died. When you break the edge, the serpent will strike. There are a lot of things we do in the secret that God knows nothing about. Sorry, man knows nothing about, but God knows everything about it. Every single thing. Before him, everything is open. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean that he will just stop that wrong thing. Now, he wants to stop it. He will make efforts so that you stop those wrong things. But he will never use, just say, I'll stop it by force. He is God. He has said that he will never go against your will, even though he gave you the will. Have you get what I'm trying to say? So except you permit him, he cannot do anything. Alright? So he's watching you doing all the rubbish. The prodigal, the father of the prodigal son said, you can go. Take all you want and go. He didn't stop him. Did he stop him? No. He said, you can go. That's true authority. He said, go. And when he went, he squandered everything. The father embraced him when he came back. But then this, the father said, you can go. You can go. And he had a lot of wrong experiences before he came back. What if he died when he went out there? There are some that went. Remember, the father said he was lost, and yet he's now what? He was dead. The father said he was dead. The Bible said he was dead. Does that not paint a picture? Somebody was with God and left, and God said he's dead. Now he's found. That's why I tell all these people that I say, whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. They don't read the Bible carefully. Somebody was with God. And when he left God and started his baby, what did God say about the person? He said, now he's dead. He's lost. When he came back, God said, he's what? Found. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if there are wrong things we are doing that nobody knows, And of course, even though God knows he can do nothing about it because he has given us will, and according to his word, he will not go against your will. And of course, these wrong things have consequences. One young man messaged me. He said, "Why do you always call me pastor? My mother always thinks I'll be coming pastor." Such a gentleman. Anytime I want to talk to him, I'll say pastor, and I say sorry. He said, "You and my mother always call me pastor. I just wanted to know, why do you call me pastor?" Now the thing is troubling his heart. He said, "I've tried plenty of bad things. I can't do it." I said, "Because your mother is praying for you." I said, "Yes." He said, yes. His mother is an evangelist. I said, "How about your father?" I said, "My father does not go to church, but he's a good man." I said, "That's where your problem is. He doesn't go to church, but he's a what? Good man." So you now took that side. See? So you can be good without going to church. I said, "Your father is not entirely good. It is goodness only flows from God. You can't be good and come to God. You become good when you come out from God. Or when you have encountered God." Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? Whatever you say as good, yet there's an end to that good if the person has not encountered God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? We always used to say there's nothing as a beautiful word, unbeliever. So back to my question. If somebody like that who was doing something wrongly dies in the wrong act, what will happen? What will people say? You don't know the things he's doing? He died. In Benin, there was a young, wonderful looking pastor who committed suicide. One would sit there and say, probably if we didn't know the story, why would God was not faithful to him? According to the report, they said he had a sexual affair with a few people, and it got out, and he had to kill himself. Now, I'm not trying to condemn that man of God, but when I went through the profile and I'd always seen one or two of his posts, he had this belief of whatever you do in the flesh. Now, I'm not trying to judge him, but he said whatever you do in the flesh does not what matter. Another person again, I remember they called in Lagos not so long, he lives here, he has closed down his ministry also. Always, you know, a man with a lot of hair, especially because you grew in a world like this. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Close down now. So I'm saying that. I'm not saying people who don't even teach this thing are not misbehaving. But what I'm trying to say is that you have already positioned yourself for destruction. You believe that a Christian can sin anytime he wants to sin, and is schooled by God. Because to you, you think the goal is making heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And if you don't think the goal is making heaven, how do you think that you'll be sinning and be making impact upon the face of death? Because the Bible says in a great house are several vessels. And it's like you purge yourself from the latter, you'll not become a vessel profitable for the master's use. How do you think you become profitable? That is why if you watch ministries who emphasize whatever you do in the flesh does not matter, I like to be very factual as a man of God. I am a very factual person. If you watch ministries, people that talk like that, you will see less of the demonstration of the Spirit in such assembly. Then a lot of times, even though it's not 100% accurate, but quite accurate, they will not tell you that the glory in the New Testament is only the new man, which I believe is true. The new man is the glory of the New Testament. But the Bible says something very specific in 2 Corinthians 2:18. It says, if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, look at the words carefully. It says, the ministry of the righteous will what? Excel in glory. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So they spoke about the glory, which is a consequence of what? Their righteousness. The ministry of condemnation. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Their righteousness produces glory. Our righteousness can produce what? A higher glory. So if we claim we are the new men in Christ, we should show what? A higher glory. Even though chiefly, the promise of the New Testament is what? The new man. But the consequence must follow thereof. And Jesus, being the prototype of the new man, showed the display of the Spirit. There was no situation he interfaced that did not change. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you must have such a mindset. You got to be truthful to yourself. God is not just the wisdom of God, he is the power of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that is why you got to understand Christ. We are having a problem with people who rush power at the detriment of the knowledge of Christ and rush knowledge, you know, and saying power does not exist. They got to be in balance. You cannot really represent God without power and what? Wisdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So you don't truly know, and like I said, this other side, they may not necessarily do something that is bad in terms of obvious sin. Now I'm not saying the person died because he went out, he was sinning like Judah. Mm-mm. That's not what I'm saying chiefly. Sometimes these guys are not, some people are not awakened to the realities of the spirit. You see this world, there is nothing physical about this world. I thank God for my foundation of the faith. Every day I thank God. Every day I used to thank God. Because I wonder how my life would have been if I met the wrong people early. I always use this word here. And I wonder if sometimes you will understand it. I was raised under Gergagia Apostolic Christianity. So I wonder if you understand that word Gergagia. Where we prayed like madmen. We believe in the demonstration of the Spirit. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? So I didn't care if I really had understanding of the New Testament. God opened my eyes to light, and it really helped me. That's the truth, because at that time I loved the Lord, but I still wanted to do, you know, there was a desire, like Paul would say, to want to do rubbish. So I wanted the Lord to really help me, and thank God for the revelation of the Christ. But one thing was never a question in my heart, whether I should do it or not, prayer. The first day I got this understanding, I prayed almost all night. So my case was quite different in that I understand this New Testament, but I love to pray. But I observed that most people, or some people rather, who understand this New Testament don't like to pray. I make it look like prayer is an Old Testament belief. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's where the mistake starts. See, the common denominator, I've said this every time, for manifestation through the Old Testament and the New Testament is what? Prayer. It has not changed. It will never change. Are you listening to me? It will never change. It can never change. Jesus came in the New Testament and prayer was like his order of the day. When he is done with everything, the Bible says he will go and what? Settle somewhere and what? Pray. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And I told you one time while I was teaching, if you are a Christian that don't want to pray, go and be a Muslim. You cannot be a Christian without prayer. Or let me use this word, an effective Christian without prayer. You can never. And when I mean prayer, I don't mean religious prayer. And you guys get what I'm trying to say? Real time fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Real time fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You know, one time I was teaching many years ago, I said how wicked, how dangerous, how disappointing will it be finally that all your life you rejected the truth because of some biases, because of where you came out from, who was your father, who was your mother, what church they attended. How bad would it be that finally you realize that this thing you've been fighting for years was the truth, alright, and now you died as a consequence of not even listening to the truth. You were disadvantaged, disadvantaged on the earth because you never wanted to listen to the truth. Why? Because of some biases based on where you grew, their beliefs. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus said, I came to my own. That's how demonic lies can be. And that's why I don't joke with wrong doctrines. I don't joke with wrong doctrines. I know what Satan can do with you with wrong beliefs in your heart. He said, I came to my own. God Almighty, he said, I came to my own, and my own received me not. They didn't receive him because of religious beliefs. And when he speaks, you see, Moses said this, this one said this, Joseph said that. And it was like, Moses said these things, and but there was a conditioning. Man of God, why do you dare to speak against what? The bishop or the pope or what the senior part. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Something that has been existing for decades, you are coming to say is wrong. That was the situation of Jesus, yet he still said it was wrong. He said Moses is not a bad man of God, but Moses said that because of the hardness of your heart. It was a situation that determined Moses' revelation at that point, more like canon laws He saw that these people are too tough. Let me just make this thing suitable for them. He said, but in the beginning, it was not so. What impetus? God is speaking to us here. He had impetus to look at leaders. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In an assembly, and tell them that, Moses said this thing. Something they've taught it one generation to another for many years. He said, this is why Moses said it. In the beginning, it was not so. And he wants them to stop using what they have been believing for years and buy into what he's saying. It was difficult. I tell you, if you were there too, you may have argued. What people have believed for decades, a young man born from Nazareth, stood up. We know his father. We know the mother. And he's telling us we're wrong. Does he know how many branches, how many places this ministry is? How many people believe these things? And just this small boy of yesterday would tell us it's wrong. Jesus said it was wrong. The Bible said they rejected him. And the Bible said Jesus cried. See, it's a bad place to be in life. That you know that you are saying the truth. Alright? But because of the pride of the hearts of people, they cannot receive the truth. The Bible said Jesus cried. He wept. It's a sad place to be. A very difficult, bad place to be. Painful. As a pastor, I've experienced that sometimes. Sometimes I'll be in my closet and I'll just be shaking my head for more than 30 minutes. Because you want to help somebody, but the person does not want to receive the help. In fact, the person thinks you are manipulating him. And you're just shaking your head. You don't even know what to do. And sometimes they are not listening to you because they probably are listening to somebody else. Is it possible for somebody to be listening to somebody else who is wrong? Generally speaking, is it possible? Yes. Now, if you are in that position where you are saying the truth and somebody is listening to somebody else who is wrong, how do you present yourself in such a situation? If not to keep quiet most of the time. Even though sometimes God will tell us keeping quiet is stupidity. We're there to talk. And sometimes we still look foolish for talking. Because they will go back and make us look like a joke. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so Jesus wept. And he said to them, well, I can't help it now. As long as there are carcasses, the eagles will gather. He now called them carcasses. You see that? The consequence of not listening to the truth. He said, vultures will come and finish you. People. You are just dead corpse in church. Forget about the white and white. You are dead corpse in church. Jesus said that. It didn't sound nice. You read it in English language. That's why you think it was a nice thing. You looked at the people wearing white and white. They reject your doctrine. He said, you all are carcasses. You are dead corpse, cadavers. Very soon, vultures will come and feed on you. Because you are dead. And according to prophecy, according to history, the prophecy got fulfilled. Jerusalem got subdued by the Romans. Oh, my heart is opening to some kind of things in the spirit. The manifestation of that prophecy was that Jerusalem got subdued by the Romans. Alright? That's why, oh, Spirit of God, I give you praise. That's the result that he felt is the book of Revelation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? So they had to speak to themselves in ways that the Romans would not understand. You can go and check history. That's the result and effect of what they refused to do. The manifestation of the prophecy, the book of Revelation, decided to in their churches under the ground, under complete mastery of the Romans. Jesus said, it doesn't matter if you are in a building, you are carcasses. And when they come, you will see them take over you. Because the building is not a proof that you are in church. And it did happen. And I speak to this generation today. Are you listening to me, people of God? That what will make us powerful as a church is not the buildings. It's our belief system. I believe that one of the reasons why the church is having a lot of buildings in this country, yet we see Satan rising through these demonic forces trying to cause chaos everywhere, is because I believe we are not focused on what truly makes us as a church. I believe so. There are a lot of distractions. I have a lot of friends who pastor. I have a lot of young people who I mentor in ministry, and I can tell you they are disappointing mindsets. many disappointing mindsets. When you hear them talk, you'll be amazed. People don't know a lot of things. A lot of people don't know a lot of things. From the description of the kind of ministry, you will know there's a problem. You hear somebody say, I have a prophetic ministry. That is a problem already. That is a problem. The focus is not right. You hear somebody say, I have my ministry, I work in the gift of healing. There is no gift of healing. So there is a problem there. Me, God has called me to do this. There is a problem there because the understanding of the gospel is distorted. How can we raise the right people called the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against them? Because he said, upon this rock, the Christos, I will build and the gate of hell. Now, the database, what we are teaching the people is not the Christos. So how will the gate of hell not prevail against us? The whole strength of hell on someone not standing on Christ, you're already gone. And that's why Jesus said, he said, you are carcasses. Satan does not come for one who believes in me with just two soldiers. He comes with everything in hell. The word gate there simply means strength. Because those days, the entire strength of a city is in its gates. He won't come and play so cool. He will come so powerful with all his might. And it takes one who knows Christ to subdue Satan. The Bible said when we understand Christ, having said in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? To pulling down what? Strongholds. Alright? Then it says, by subjecting ideologies and knowledge, any knowledge that seems to want to raise itself above what? So when you know Christ, you subject what is not of Christ. Now, if you don't know Christ, how do you subject what is not of Christ? Not possible. And that's why, you know, someone called me today who is in church. I think in the ushering team, he's serving, I think in Oshun or so. And I said to him, are you focused in your team? He said, yes, I attend Bible study sometimes. I said, that's a problem with some of you. You look stronger until you travel. And you begin to act so weak. So I said to him, you have to focus. Being everywhere is being nowhere. Sometimes problems will make you unfocused. I'm looking for a message that will change my story. There's no message. Stay on the word. You're in church, they are teaching you how to management Mondays on Sunday service and evenings. I tell you the truth, you could get that anywhere. Alright? Daniel had all of those things, yet he turned towards Jerusalem to pray. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? And there's a time for everything. The church is for a place to learn Christ. And sometimes people think it's a waste of time to learn Christ. I won't go where they will teach me about making money. No, there's a spirit of mammon over here. You don't understand that you can have all the necessary understanding of money and still be poor. Except you are ready to compromise. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. There's a false altar in the realm of the spirit that is called mammon. I call it false altar because it does not exist in my world. But it exists in the world of the disobedient. And what you need to pledge for your allegiance to the devil to go far in that realm is everything decency and everything against God. You ought to bribe. You ought to sleep with somebody's husband, somebody's wife. You ought to do anything stupid. Some people become gay, some people become lesbians just to make money. You want to become a popular worldly singer? You've not heard, isn't it? And it's a man who wants to sleep with you. Because that is how him too was promoted into the realm. So he doesn't necessarily want to live that kind of life. But Satan says you must do something abnormal to come into this realm of money. I don't know that you guys are getting on trying to explain it. You must just do something stupid. So you are a nice person. You have all the qualification. But what is the stupid thing you can sacrifice? You must pay your allegiance to what? That lord of that realm. The devil. Because nobody makes money. Just being in the middle. I know you don't get what I'm trying to say. No, but you just know. Oh, shabash. Lubraham Braha. Check all the billionaires. There's one. You may be going straight at a point. Some forces will rise against you, and for you to really keep on standing, you will look for a force to partner with. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Oh, the Lord give you understanding. You must look for a force to partner with. There are people who they have assumptions in their heart that they are controlling this world. Are you seated here? If you don't know, the kind of money they have, to them they are controlling even presidents. They will sit down and just make a decision as they go and let this president be your father president, so that we'll be able to, so that the people will not. I'm telling you the truth. Years ago, I heard the story of a man that he went to Germany to see a professor, high-ranking professor. So he was just in the man's library and he wanted to touch a book. As he opened the book, the professor just entered and said, "No! That's not for everybody. Keep it back." He said, "Sir, what do you mean by that's not for everybody?" He said, "No. I know when it got to me before they gave me permission to read this book. And nobody, not even my wife, can read it." The guy said he opened one of the pages, saw something like secrets nobody should know. Secret no human should know. I don't pay attention to those kind of things necessarily, but that got to me. There's a so-called billionaire who right now wants to be buying women eggs. He's of the school of thought that thinks that population is too much. People have mind though. So when we tell you they've created COVID-19, you think we are being hyper-spiritual. In your mind, you think everybody is in this world just to be eating bones and shawarma and die one day. Some people have dreams. And people get crazy, stupid dreams. They want everybody to think the way they are thinking. So they are just looking at you and thinking of a way out. So what is the way out? Instead of the Bible or their material for people to read, they say, "No, we'll put sheep in people's heads." There was a video that came out. They are trying to test coronavirus, I mean the vaccine. They said if you test it in Africa first, to see the casualty, so that we know how to improve on it. Things are happening, though. You must live for something beyond 9-to-5 jobs. I will save the money by before next year. I could not get like 2 million. Then I will buy the land. You must live for something beyond that. If you are just living at that, you are living a limited. You are living a very limited life. And that's some people's dream. I want to make. What's your ambition? I want to make 25 million one day, and I'll feel fulfilled. That's why it will be so hard to make it, because the universe doesn't think you deserve it. What's the reason for 25 million? There must be something that is pushing you to want to become what you want to become. Like I said on Sunday, if I think innovation, if I have a vision, there's a way I live my life. A heavy vision will not make me to be changing cars and changing houses. No, it's so heavy that there's something I'm saying. That's why you see some people that have crazy vision with all the money we hear they have. They'll just come out with one t-shirt and be working. In their mind, they've not still touched what they want to touch. I was reading about a man, and I heard that his son became gay. Are we together? He didn't know he signed something in school, so his son became gay. So when he wanted to go to court, the man brought this thing and said he signed. You know, some of us that will always press accept. Most of the times, when I'm using WhatsApp, you just see me rejecting. If you are close to me, you observe I reject almost everything people send, every agreement, except the one that is very important. I always reject almost everyone. So, when the boy now said, "Dad, leave me alone, I'm not identifying as a female," or is it female? I don't even know how to call them. The father started crying. And then I wrote that he has lost his son, not to 6 feet under the ground. He has lost his son to women, to the women realm. So painful. So he said, "I vow to destroy this woke mentality." And for somebody to talk like that, he has to partner with the spirit. There's a spirit that does not even want the woke mentality to exist. So it's not a coincidence that such a man is thinking towards the realm of God and thinking towards and embracing people. This is mind technology. This is to be carefully that are standing for the things of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Lord give you understanding. It's not a coincidence. The reason why such a man, now they say the person slept in his factory for over how many years? So years. Slept in his factory. Go and really ask why he slept. He made a vow. I want to destroy the so-so mentality. You can't destroy those things with just a wish. It merely got to a point. He bought Twitter. Now, we're in a point now where they say he's the first trillionaire that has ever hit the earth. Remember the thing he wants to destroy. When he bought the Twitter now, he said you cannot put anything LGBT. If you say anything like that, block the account. Some footballers, they say, we are going to remove. You say, let them remove. They are actually poor. Now, for removing, see where he has still got it to. I heard he offered to buy Facebook, the owner refused. And such a man now, if he buys Facebook now, he will say no more what? LGBTQ. See, when I see people that said God does not want you to have money, I understand, because some people have taken this money thing to the extreme. Huh? And listen again, money is not the number one thing that God wants you to have. God wants you to know him first. In fact, the Bible did not say it is them that have money that will be strong and do exploit. The Bible says it is them that would know their God. In fact, it is them that know their God that can even work on money. One of the resultant effects of knowing God is that you will have money. Our body will work with God in scriptures was for. I know I was teaching this somewhere. Somebody said, what of Lazarus? I said, it was not God's will for Lazarus to be poor. I said, hey? I said, yes. Did the Bible say it? Since when I was born, now I'm going old, I've never seen the word. Nor what? Beg for bread. Why was that Lazarus begging? That was disobedience to God. You know, some of us, when we read the Bible, we are scared of saying something in the Bible. This thing is not right. This thing. It's not right. Daniel begged. Sorry. Lazarus begged. Are they rich people who made it to heaven? Yes. Are they poor people who went to hell? Yes. When you see poor people sometimes talk, it's as if to be rich is bad. Leave all those rich people, leave them alone. It doesn't really matter what they did in this world. Waiting. Especially when the people die. Hey! Nothing did this world, my brother. All the money, everything is here, the same grave with us. Hey! Now, wow. They like to console themselves. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But it's never God's will for you to be poor. One of the things God will give you so that you walk in power on the earth is money. The Bible says, for money itself, it is a defense, a mighty defense. God puts in your hand. I know of a ministry, they raise money in billions. In billions. And guess what they target? Money for war. They are just storing the money. Money for war. The point come, they arrested his pastor, one of his pastors. He said, get me the best lawyer in the world. Like a joke. I think somebody already contracted. He said, I'm going to pay you double. The man went, won the case for his pastor, and won the pastor. How will a man do such a thing? They already had money, what? Stored up. For money itself is a word. One way God will make you powerful through is by giving you money. You are his righteousness. You now add money to this righteousness so that you can stand so powerful. Yet that's not Zenith of everything, like I'm saying. But salvation is the whole. You cannot separate one from another. Alright? While holy word, stop stressing yourself and saying, I'm seeking salvation, not money. Because money is in salvation. You know, some people are that emotional. Say, ah, Pastor, leave us a beg. We hate money. We love Jesus. Have you heard people talk like that before? Take the world and give me Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you understanding me tonight? So you see, Jesus had a problem because the people were so religious and he couldn't help them. Let me speak like Prophet Scobus. What if we have the flip side of coin? What if truly, truly, most people don't know what they are doing? So who will be the first to cast the stone and tell the people that these people or most people don't know what they are doing? I mean, we're in a world right now, listen carefully, that if you say Mary is not the mother of God, it is a problem. But the question is Mary the mother of God? But you can't even say Mary is not the mother of God. You have a problem with people. We're in a world where you cannot say stop telling Mary to pray for you as a Christian, because she's a fellow Christian like you. People will say you have been disrespectful to the Queen of Heaven. Now the question is there a Queen of Heaven? Now if there is there a King? Huh? So when did they get married? Now if you say such a thing, now people will still think you are stupid. You hear emotional statements like, mind your own business. Mind your own business. But you know that ideology can be a what? Limitation, like Jesus said. You can be in such a place with a wrong mentality and Satan is lashing you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Satan is lashing you. You are thinking God is not faithful. I'm still trying to answer that first question I asked you people. You see somebody saying there are many righteous people who are dying anyhow. Good people die. What a statement. If that goodness springs from God, it's not possible. A lot of people are emotional. They are not necessarily good. If Jesus was on the earth, do you think you would say he's a good person? Somebody who whipped people? Will you call him good? Somebody who looks at the people and says, woe to you hypocrites. Perhaps he would have been doing it on Facebook, on TV. Woe hypocrites, woe you rebels, woe ye generation of vipers. What will you call such a man? A good man? Somebody who looks at the people with white and white and say you are like your father the devil. What will you call him? He called out our so and so the father. You understand what I'm trying to say? What will you think? What do you think you call Jesus? He saw people doing, selling and selling things in church. And he took Cain during the bazaar, during the service, and was flogging them. Yet they are still doing it in church today. If Jesus was here, don't you think he would have said it on Facebook, live streaming during his service? What if we say it now on behalf of Jesus? What do you think people would tell us? People don't like truth in this generation. You want to please a generation that looked at a man who did nothing and killed him? You want to please that kind of people? I told you one time, I said, the only thing God did not allow me to say is to hell with everybody. Because in my heart, I made up my mind one midnight. I said, nobody is going to stop me. If you stop living for fear of what people will say, that's the day you started living. You must make up your mind. Are you listening to me? You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. And what will they say? Well, you got to be free. Leave the word of God to the finish. Make up your mind. I've seen people who died, who were finished by Satan because of their pride. Their pride. You tell somebody a doctrine is wrong. I don't know. The Lord wants me to emphasize it. Let me try to just finish this part before I continue. You see, for instance, whatever you are standing on in the realm of the spirit determines how far you can go and live or live this eternal life or the quality of life you will enjoy upon the face of the earth. So let me put it like this. Whatever you are standing on, knowledge is what you stand on in the realm of the spirit. So knowledge represents, determines your strength, determines your impact in the realm of the spirit. And that's why when God asks, Jesus asks the 12, who do you think that I am? Immediately they got the answer. He said, upon this rock our word. That the gate of hell, the consequence is that the gate of hell will not work. He now said, to thee have I given the word, keys of the kingdom, that whatever you want is what? Whatever you want. Don't just be looking at that scripture, let those keys fall off. In other words, Peter, since you know me as a Christ, you are built like a rock as a preacher, and the people under you are built like a rock. Are you going to get what I'm trying to say? So that, fulfilling Luke 6, when the wind of this world, which must surely come, the flood of life comes, it will hit you vehemently, but you will not fall because you are standing where? On the rock. So it's not about the activities yet. It is not about the movement, the unnecessary activities in the church yet. What is most important is the revelation. My generation does not want to hear this thing. Sometimes when we say, they feel like we are getting annoyed by people who seem to be getting impactful. And by impactful, they mean people who have a lot of people who think like that, who buy into those ideas. But sometimes I say it is very easy to buy into wrong ideas. It is very easy. It is not easy for somebody to hear the truth and want to just accept it easily. Jesus came to a town and everybody rejected him with the truth. He is even the truth. Yet a whole town rejected him. His whole hometown rejected him. If discerning truth and accepting it was that easy, they would have accepted Jesus' truth. Because he is even truth. Yet he came to his own with the truth as the truth, and his own received him not. That every time Jesus speaks, the Pharisees will say true words and say, show us a greater sign. At a point, they say, show us a greater sign like Elijah did. Even the 12, the disciples had to see it at one time. Show us, show us, show us. Wrong mentality. Wrong mentality. And Jesus had to rebuke them. Pharisees had a wrong mindset. Jesus had to leave a town because of dishonor. They were not believing what he was saying, yet he was still bold. He kept on saying it. He didn't change his message. I tell you, we're in a generation, and some of you don't have any idea what is happening with young ministers. They are trying to please the older so that they come into these cliques and get gigs. If you understand what I'm trying to say, the Lord give you understanding. I speak with a lot of young ministers. Beyond getting recognized by God, they've gone beyond wanting to be recognized by God. They want men. The approval of men. And I'm not saying that it is wrong to honor men, but not at the detriment of standing with what is true. And I tell you, if we continue like this now, what is the hope of another generation rising to fulfill this mandate of God? Because he said, I will not put what? New wine in what? Old wineskin. What if we keep on having a rotation of the old wineskin? How do we see this glory? How do we get to manifest this glory? I don't want to disrespect anybody who had gone ahead of me, but I want to stand with truth. How do we come into this equilibrium where we have to say the truth without hurting nobody? It's almost impossible. Jesus honored all men. Are you listening to me? He didn't withhold the truth. He honored all men. He went to church as his custom desired and taught. Yet Jesus never withheld saying the truth. He kept on saying it. Amidst all criticism. Are you listening to me? He kept on saying, he didn't stop speaking the truth. At a point, lastly, he said, every tree my father has not planted will be uprooted and cast into the fire. Jesus was in a world that only him preached a particular message. Every other person negated him. At a point, ministry was empty. Everybody left. What was the reason in John 6? His doctrine was hard. The Bible says his teaching was what? Hard. Not hard, like it's hard to understand. Hard to believe. Hard to believe. How can you tell us this kind of thing? And he was proving everything scripture to scripture. From all the prophecies, he was proving it. Yet they would not listen to him. And when he came, he didn't say, well, go and tell the people I've changed. He said, well, how about you? Will you not go also? And they responded, to whom should we go to? He kept on teaching the truth of God's word. Are you listening to me? He kept on insisting on what was right. And suddenly a man rose called Paul in scripture, who was against the church and had that wrong mindset. He rose up. Galatians 1:10. It says, for I am not seeking the approval of man or of God, but of God. Let me read it properly. He said, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I will not. Now give me another rendition. Give me the Amplified rendition rather. Now am I trying to win the favor of men or of God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I should not be a born servant of God. That makes sense. I want us to read together. Are we together? Now, Paul asks a question that sounds simple until you turn it to yourself. Turn it on to yourself. The question is, who are you performing for? I want us to really reflect in this teaching tonight. Who are you what? Performing for? Not who should you be performing for. We all know the right answer to that. But who are you actually performing for in the secret theater of your heart? That is the question this evening. And one of the things I want you to achieve before we are done is that you should take time to meditate on your life. Many people get what I'm trying to say. And relate everything I'm teaching this evening with your life personally. Of course, you know, people pleasing is rarely an abuse. It does not walk into the room dressed as cowardice many times. It dresses as sensitivity. It dresses as love. It says, I don't want to offend anyone. Are you listening? It doesn't look obvious. It's very silent a lot of times. You may even look so humble, still pleasing, doing people-pleasing, you know, activity. It says, I'm just being considerate sometimes. But on the net, all of that, there's a different question running constantly, quietly beneath the surface. What do they think of me? Many of us always think like that. What do people think of me? Jesus addressed with surgical directness in John 5:44. Let's read together. He looked at the religious leaders of his days and asked, how is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another, and yet do not seek the praise and honor and glory which come from him who alone is God. Are you seeing that? In other words, they were not believing Jesus, and Jesus said, this is the reason why you are not believing me. You are looking for glory that comes with men. You don't want to do things so that people will say, brother, you too, you are thinking like that. You are living for men. Are you listening to me this wonderful evening? And so Jesus asked them, he said, that's why you don't want to believe me. Because if you believe me, now remember Nicodemus, he even came by night. Can you remember? He was ashamed. Perhaps we'll see him with Jesus by daytime. You know, I've had people in this town, of course I won't call them their name, that came by night. It doesn't mean that it's in the night that he came. See, Pastor, our heart is here. but we can't just come. And I smile. One time we wanted to do something to welcome young people, because I felt like some young people may think I'm against some certain way of dressing and dress. So I just wanted to welcome young people, of course, with the purpose of making sure that they are hit with the gospel. And so we wanted these two people to come and minister, you know, as a proof that we are open to all forms of young people. And when we're done with everything, the young man, one of them said, God said everything there. Before you know it, they sent a message to Pastor Peter. My authority said, I should not come. And Pastor was so fuming. He said, Pastor, sir, that's how they stand against us. They are hypocrites. He got so angry. And I said, well, you people are the one that wanted me to bring all of these kind of people to church. And, well, I'm not angry. Tell him, no problem. I didn't get offended. I did not send a message to his superior whatsoever. It's their cup of tea. But that cannot stop what God is doing here. You see, as I sit here right now, no man born of a woman can stop me. Not even you sitting here can stop me. Now, it's not pride, it's the truth. I'm not trying to sound nice. I'm telling you facts. Because I have not settled for my journey into God is not a detriment of anybody, not even my wife. It's not at the detriment of anybody. Nobody born of a woman. I've never sat down one day and say, ah, God, what if I end one day because of this? Nothing can end me. I don't pray for the worst situation. It will never happen to me, but no situation can stop me. My journey into God is endless. Are you listening to me? It's forever and ever and ever. That's why nobody who even offends me or betrays me can stop me. The easiest is those that talk against me. Someone came here, I remember one of these Tuesdays, some of you would have seen one fat pastor who came here one time. And after the service, he couldn't contain it. He came to me and said, man of God, I just have to confess this straight to you. They told me that you manipulate people. And they told me that when I come to your church, I should not even dare to come. There's some sort of spirit that make people start just listening to you, you know. And you begin to tell them something. When you tell them something, they just follow everything because you use the prophetic to get them. And that's how you get money. I said, oh, you've seen it today. I did it for you then. Because you too, you are in love with me right now. Yes. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And when he was done, I did not say who said. I think that was what hit him more. I said, okay. It's just where without this whole thing. So where do you stay in Abuja? That's the next thing I asked him. I really don't care who said it. In fact, I will have a problem with you if you come and tell me what people say about me. I think you don't have work. Firstly, you sat down and heard it. Secondly, you have time to come and tell me. What do you want me to do? I should fight? You know, years ago there was a young lady. She's very popular today. I believe she was not so wise as she is right now these days. Called me and said, sir, I just left the company of people that were talking against you. And I left them. I said, thank God. So how are you? Sir, is that all you have to say? I said, what do you want me to do? And she got offended at me. Because I did not react enough for a kind gesture. Another person visited me one time and said, you know, I have a lot of things to do. Talk less of discussing those things. If I finish here, I'll still work till probably 12, 1 a.m. So why would I be thinking of anything that cannot make me have money or make me become strong in God? I don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. Not even my wife distracts me. She knows me. I'll lock myself up. And thank God she does not even distract me. You know, when I wanted to get married, I told my wife, I have a room, and I have a table, I have a chair in the room, I have a bed in that room. When the atmosphere is not right, I enter my room. My journey to God continues. Now, I'm having children. Yeah, yeah. I said, not even my children will stop me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'll come out, I'll play with them just some minutes, some hours. I know as I say some hours, they are saying, ah, Pastor, souls are dying. Okay, now. Some hours. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? teacher maths, teacher physics, teacher computer science. All right, and biology, and teach her the word of God, and teach her prayer, and supervise the prayer. All right, don't sit down, keep on moving like that. Don't bend. Right, keep on like, keep on, don't. All right, 2 hours. All right, come go and sit. Teach her all those things. Go. You know, some people say, no, leave them to we really learn how to pray. Oh my God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I knew a man in Kaduna. His 3 children were prayer warriors. It was not a coincidence. He said he would hold Cain, pray with Cain, that there was one of, especially the firstborn, was so stubborn. You hold his Cain, oh yeah. Do it. Now, he had already baptized them with the Holy Ghost. They felt like it's something, you know. He baptized, they were so happy that day. All of them were crying. Then every day, now they had to be praying tongues. That was where problem was. He held the kid. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Johnson! Open your mouth. That's right. Watching the left. See, one time he came to minister with them. In a program, and he called one of the boys to lead, I think second boy or something, to lead opening prayer. My God, come and see atmosphere. Everybody, you know, when he was leading the prayer, we were looking at the boy. When he said it, we were wondering, is this man joking with us in this place? We invited him, instead of a small boy, look at these warriors that standing there. Who was there to even give? The man did not even trust any of our atmosphere. It was his boy. He just gave him the mic. He said, just watch us for 10 minutes before I start my ministration. Go ahead. I don't like this atmosphere. It's your son you are calling. The boy just held the mic. He looked at the keyboards, strings. Close your eyes. The guy closed his eyes. I was wondering what was happening. He said, everybody, let us pray. I remember this word. He said, when there's a man to pray, there's a God to answer. Hey! And he did not move. He was just in one place. We held our hands. The atmosphere was so charged. When the man collected mic, we didn't know because everybody's eye was closed. When the man said, all right, thank you, Holy Ghost, I think I can start now. Then in the message, he started telling us his story. How I raised these boys to learn to pray. I don't care what you think about me. When they are done, he said at a point he even stopped them from school lesson and was taking the school lesson himself because he was eating into their prayer time. Now ask the question, you're picking way good lesson and this one will not go. Which one better? Some of you know what you are doing in those lessons, those days, you know. You want to go home after school. Well, you know, you are with Johnson walking with your Bogo skirt those days. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. Note what Jesus says here. He says, the hunger for human glory is not merely a spiritual weakness. It is an obstacle of faith. Obstacle to faith itself. In other words, they didn't believe Jesus because they wonder what people would think about them. They start believing this ideology. I tell you, there are people that don't want to relate with us because they are scared. What people say. Amen. Like one time I had a situation, and I think the situation should have been popular now. Let me make it more popular. We invited this person especially to church several times. He's an associate pastor or the resident pastor of the ministry, and was getting invited 3 times. Was a conference. A few people came, some other people came, but he particularly did not come. And I wondered because he did not send any notes why he didn't come. Some of you would have noticed me in other places because I was invited not even to minister, and I had to honor if I give my word, I come. And if I can't, I send a note. And he didn't come. Now, that's not our business. But he had the impetus to send his own invitation letter. And when he brought it to church, he then said that He wants to know me and start doing stuff with me, so I should be the one to confess. So I asked who collected the litter. They brought the person. I said, take it back now. Take it back. Go to the office, make sure you see the man himself. And these are the words you tell him. I don't want to know you, and I'm not coming for your meeting. Thank you. I added this, because you did not come for mine, and you didn't tell me why you did not come. Thank you. So they took it. The news spread. Prophet. Prophet. And I asked a question. I said, you think you know how old I am, right? Okay. When I was born again, that man, when I was preaching, sorry, that man was not born again. I said, go vet it without me even checking. That is not a joke. It's the truth, and I'm not trying to be proud. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, some people look at us and they are wondering, your spiritual stature should be according to your age. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. And it's not pride. Jesus was the head of the 12. He was not the oldest. And I can never look down on myself because of my age. Jeremiah, keep your mouth shut, the Bible says. Don't call yourself young for my message, for my work. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, at what? God called you to be a prophet to the nations. Paul said, I amplify my ministry. I don't allow anyone to look down on my ministry. Paul said that. Because if you give men that power, they will finish you. They will see you small and want to force you to see yourself small. No. There's a difference between humility and seeing yourself small. I'm humble. I am not small. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. You cannot fully believe in a God you are not primarily trying to impress. The craving for human applause will hollow out your faith without you noticing. It will hollow out your faith. Can I ask you guys a sincere question? How many of you have read where Jesus grew hand in scripture? Lift your hands up. Grew somebody's hand in scripture. You saw where Jesus grew out somebody's hand in scripture. Lift your hands up. If you have not seen, just keep your hands up. If you have seen, listen to what I've said. Lift your hands up. Have you ever prayed for the ability to grow somebody's hand before? Huh? Yeah, no. Have you ever led prayer in a public that hands should grow out, like people should pray that you should have the ability to grow people's hands before, because you are feeling ashamed of what people think about you? How many of you have read the power of scripture that says, whose sin I forgive is forgiven, whose sin you retain is retained? Lift your hands up. How many of you have ever looked at somebody and said, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus, you are being moved? Lift your hands up. Because how you look before men. I even get on trying to say now, I'll just give you a practical example. I listened to Prophet Kubus many times tell people who are HIV and AIDS. He said, your sins are forgiven. Now be healed. The first time I saw that, I said, God, what is this man saying? Who forgives sin? Jesus said, whose sin you what? Whose sin you what? Retain. Alright? So he has given us the power to speak forgiveness of sins unto people. Pastor, I got HIV and AIDS 5 years ago, and since then, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you bent? Are you now? Do you now love the Lord? Are you sorry for what you've done? Yet? Now, your sins are forgiven. Your sickness is gone in the name of Jesus. That's the ability of a Christian that just exercises. The authority of a Christian that just exercises. But most people cannot do this because they fear what people will say about them. How many of you can tell the truth about doctrine to certain people? I'm not saying. I'm not saying those ones who like quarrel. There are some of you who like quarrel. So you say, yes, sir. Then you go and quarrel with people. That's what I'm trying to talk about. I mean, some of you who are kind, who are mature, it's very difficult to tell people the truth. Sometimes the people in the line are your father and mother. And you are wondering, hallelujah to Jesus. How do I tell them they are wrong? How do I tell them Mary is not the mother of God? How do I tell them they should not bow to Mary? And some of them singing songs who are honoring. How do I tell them that the description of worship, the first word you see there is deep honor? You know, some say we are honoring Mary, we don't worship her. That honor is one of a kind. And the definition of worship is deep honor. That the honor, brother, is so deep. It cuts in so deep. It's worship. You may insult me right now. You may disagree with me. But you know I'm saying the truth. And you may not necessarily go to hell. But you suffer a lot of consequences. And maybe go to hell so fast. Unexpected. The Lord give you understanding. When you listen to it later, you understand what I mean here. Alright, let me read it again. The craving for human applause will hollow out your faith without you noticing, because the crowd out the outward form of religion can remain intact long after the heart has finally transferred its allegiance from God to the crowd. And this does not only afflict those in the pews, it afflicts those behind the pulpit too. Like I was saying, there are preachers who no longer preach conviction because conviction empties the room. There are worship leaders who engineer emotion because emotion fills the room. Instead of singing songs, they want to sing new songs. Have you been there before? Like one time, I was just waiting for somebody to come and sing this song so that I would tell the person from the podium to stand up and get up. I timed them, nobody did it. I wanted to hear, "We're a new generation." Then I wanted to hear, "Find us, we love Jesus." I said, "Pastor, I'm going to collect that mic, come down from that place." In public, I was planning to do it. Because I wonder if that is worship. Are we together? To me, that was not worship. And to me, that's not a song necessarily for anyone to sing. We sing the word, and it's enough for us. We don't need to do something to compete with the word. We are not in a competition. We are worshiping God our Father. Are people getting what I'm trying to say? Say, do things that will make the word come. Mm-mm. The only thing given to make the word come is the gospel. If you sing the gospel as your song, it is the power of God to transforming men and bringing the men to Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up on the cross, that capacity can what? Draw all men. Not gospel song that sound worldly. You don't understand the Holy Ghost. That's why you're trying to sound worldly. Now we have gospel artists who will not be able to. We were taught that these things were rubbish, and we understood because of our culture that they were rubbish. But let me be the first one probably to be bold to tell you that we're in a generation that people will carry their shirt now, and gospel artists is written in their chest. They'll put in and be looking sexy before God's people leading worship. Now, instead of paying attention to Jesus, we are paying attention to the chest. And women too, perhaps. They bow nose and bow ear, bow waiting no good. Yet they are not satisfied. Only Jesus satisfies. If you have Jesus, his piercing will be enough for you. Oh my God. Whoosh. Whoosh. Oh my God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Somebody that pierces both hands and pierces his leg, and his face was scattered. Piercings here, here, here. He has been pierced for your sake. He has been pierced for you not to be pierced. Cry. Don't leave me. And that's why sometimes we're in church, you tell people just sing regular worship is not enough for them. They want energy. They want to sing something powerful. There is no powerful song. There's only powerful revelation. It's revelation that makes a song powerful. I've been to many places by God's special grace. I've had the privilege to lead these songs everywhere I go. Before, you know, I sing. Before I preach, most times I sing. And sometimes you just see people get to understand what is happening as we sing. We don't leave the most popular song. We leave the song of the moment. the song the Holy Spirit won for the moment. As long as that song is revelatory. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And I always tell the choir guys, the only songs God can use is the one you know in your spirit. Know a lot of good songs. Listen to a lot of good songs. God will use them where and when necessary. But if you have jargons, you just see that you want to start it, they'll be happy in the realm of the spirit. Before you know now, there will be a little wrong collision, and you want to walk in the flesh. We have men who have hit these ends and they are still singing. Do you see the peace that comes with listening to Don Juan songs? He's so splendid. Everybody is singing. His last prayer I even sang one time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us this day. So sweet, so powerful. So me, I need to like that kind of song. Play something. Bam, 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 bam. All the people, one leg up for Jesus. And we bring all forms of rubbish to the church. Now there are hype men in church. You go to shake, 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 the shake, 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 shake. I'm waiting for the Jesus. I'm waiting for the Jesus. Oh my God. Your Jesus, guys. Your Jesus. Oh my God. Gospel fashion of hype man. Hype man gospel fashion. Who started it? See, what is there to just do your leg? What is there? Who started it? I was teaching some people on music one time. You know, they were so astonished. They didn't know I know music. And I said, music is so powerful that you can get distracted because of music. It will distract your worship. Let me sing something. I remember long ago, never to walk in anyone's shadow. They started responding. I was waiting. It sounds so sweet. Sing one worldly song that, if God doesn't mind, you should just allow us to be singing it. No, Kai, calm down. I want you to be yourself. Okay, you like, well, you. He said, I think that's not really so bad like that. I don't really know how to say it, but he wish God can allow all of me, once all of you, and the rest. So, you know, I told you a story about this song. Alright. I said, all of you, Jesus, want, oh my God. Then, it got to a point of the song, and I said, hey, what does this mean? Then I said, no, it's a call from the Spirit. And I said, hey, no, hey. I went to one of my friends who, I said, hey, Pastor, you don't know what it means? I said, I don't know, please explain. What is, when he explained, I just put my arm on my head. I went to meet that my friend. I said, who told you that this thing is gospel song? We all have one song we really wish, probably. See, music is so powerful. A lot of times, they are saying rubbish, but the way music is so powerful, it will shock your brain. You'll be enjoying the melody. Then when you think about what you are saying, you are wondering, but you see, it has already entered through the gates of your spirit. It has entered inside of you. Faith cometh by hearing, not listening. All demons, Satan understands this. That's why sometimes he likes to recruit the best singers. You know, one time that the church started saying, the church don't have money, the church are not paying well. I was just looking at them. It's mammon everywhere. Mammon. The church are not paying. Join choir and get work. You are saying the church are not paying. Do you know people? There are people who work in the church more than singers. Huh? In this church now, sanctuary and choir, who work more? Okay. The way they will clean this rug and clean everywhere and clean. So should we start paying sanctuary? One day, you know, hear a young boy say, because of money, because of the they are not paid, I went to that church, they give me common 1 million. Then when they now say, pastors are preaching to them, say, what of you people, pastors? It's only you that want to enjoy. You don't want, it has come to a point that a singer wants to enjoy like pastor. He's now assuming the place of a pastor. And that tithe, they should share it for us. I heard somebody say like that. You see the foolishness. Carry one singer and say, go and open sale. Just sell. And singer, start sell here. Next week, get tight. Chopper. They don't even understand the labels of ministry. That's why to call amounts is sweeting them like ice cream.
$5,000 for my...
Because they don't know the burdens of ministry. You think it's easy to remove $5,000 from people or from an account to go and to give one man for 50 after 15 minutes? We appreciate what you are doing, though. And God willing, we can bless people beyond that tomorrow. But of course, charity begins at home. Imagine somebody comes and giving $5,000. Pastor, man, hey, how many thousand dollars have I given? Will God not think I'm a stupid human being? You see angels in the realm of the spirit, you'll all be passing me. Pew, pew, pew. We blank. I will know that something is not right in the spirit. And in all honesty, you know, one time I was speaking with my friend, he's an apostle in Jesus. So I told him the experience of one of these guys. You know, I told you before, I said, you can be listening to this song. I don't have a problem. Whether we meet in heaven, and this person does not recognize his wrong, I will tell God, this guy misbehaved. You know, you people think God is one scary father? There are a lot of people I have questions for in heaven. I already have plenty questions. Solomon, how did you do this? If God saw you to us and says, Daddy, give me 1 minute, please. Can I just say something? I have one question. We read about Solomon. Where is Brother Solomon? King Solomon. How did you do this? Another person I want to know is Delilah. Delilah, baby, where are you? Didi, how did you get the strongest man down? So I was telling my friend what he did. So my friend said that's immaturity. They dealt with something like that somewhere in Kaduna too. And he said, come to think of it, Pastor. Why you invited that guy? I said, just because I wanted. He said, man of God, you have people who sing even better. He said, stop all of these kind of things. I said, it's true, man of God. Even though it has been in my heart. You know, some of you wonder and think whether it's the people that get popular that their voice becomes sweet. When you're popular, your voice is now sweet. How about Davido? Now, people are paying less concern to the voice. But even if Davido hear me now, he will know I'm not lying. Davido's voice sounds scary. Yes, he's a popular music. If they say musician, they used to call Davido a musician. Meanwhile, he can't make the Taylor Gospel Choir because there's no part in this choir for him. Not soprano, not tenor, not even tenor. Even bass, I don't think. Bass need to be coordinated. But it's popular. So a lot of times people think popular people are the people that have... And this is no disrespect to people God who is using in music. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But we have to be wise. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here this wonderful moment? Where was I? Huh? Yes, music. It's so sweet that you want... You know, some people, at the detriment of good music, they will just forget worship. Like I was telling the MD one time. I said, you may have heard good interludes, good music from other people, but pay attention to the decency there. Pay attention to the coordinations there. If the drummer is dressed like an unbeliever wearing earrings, don't show your TTC people that kind of music. Before our drummer too will not wear shirt and come. Pay attention.
pay attention to everything. One day Nanjai will enter church, we'll see him. No, I'm just giving an instance. Sorry, I'm replying me inside me. Allow me to give my example. He said, of course I know it will happen, but it's an instance. It's very important. Actually, I heard a popular guy, he's a Christian. He was given an illustration. He said he saw Thames. She's a singer. Way back, she was just a digital marketer. But now, see how life has changed and she's very influential. And I said, how God will change your story, you will not know. So I went to his inbox. I said, you would have used another person for this example in all honesty. We are Christians. So you mean somebody should take the part of Thames? Huh? That's what I told him. If Christians leave church now, same you will go and explain why it's wrong. Sometimes you can just be enjoying yourself and forget to really pay attention to details. Of course, me, I don't comment in comment section. I do indoor section. Because sometimes when you comment in comment section, the enemies of those people will just leverage on it. And start saying yes. And you don't agree. Have you been there before? That you say something, one person will now say something bad that you don't think it should be like that. You don't know how to tell them, oh God, you don't add that one inside. So the best thing is to just... You know, one time I spoke about these killings and I said how men of God are not... One guy now said, don't mind them, they are thieves. I said, oh God, you not join that one inside. You not join... I had to message him because when I deleted it, he now did it again. It's like he felt like his message, his comment did not enter. I said, don't insult anybody in my comment section, please. I have passed my message. Before you now make me have problem with people. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there are worship leaders who engineer emotion because it fills the room. There are small group leaders who never challenge because challenge brings discomfort. You are a HOD, they give you secretary, treasurer. You don't do anything in the department. Nothing. You are a fellowship head leader. They say you should be bringing pulpits. When your feet start falling, you know what they call your feet? Huh? Say it in English. When it starts drizzling, you now say, I don't want malaria to catch me. Pulpit that you put on your head and be coming to church there. I don't want malaria to come. Small challenge, small discomfort. Let's go for evangelism this Saturday now. Sir, when I wake up by the side of my head, my neck bent and did droop. And the next day I should not go anywhere. Sir, I was in the shop. I wanted to leave. Then a customer came and said I should sew her one yard of bed sheets. Sir, I could not come because in our place they were doing sanitation. They did two sanitation for our waste street. They did two. Something that you follow back here, here you are building church. You just be hearing some lies. And some people, do you know some people are so used to lies, they can't remember that they have been lying for many years now. You need to really refresh them very well to understand. Something is happening to them before. Maybe they need to hit their eyes. Oh, I don't did lie for like 3 years now. Make I change. Lie has become like the order of the day. They lie. They cry. Oh my God. As if they program them with one powerful programming language. They can just arrange the lie, debug, edit. You say, okay, you said that. So why this? Oh my God. And some of them have friends who always vet. Always confirm. Was I not there? Sir, she was there, sir. People lie. People lie even in church. People lie. You don't know. Oh my God. And sometimes you feel disappointed when you hear people lie. Don't feel bad. It is their nature. They've forgotten that there's truth. Lie has become like the order of the day. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Sometimes when you even tell them they are lying, they feel bad. Do not be telling people you are a wicked person. That they are saying the truth and you think they are lying. It's painful to catch a liar. They want to force their lie to become the truth. So I'm speaking to liars. If you're a liar in this place, understand that lie is a bad thing. And think whether you have been lying for years, and it's high time you stop. Just refresh. So you have small group leaders sometimes who don't want to do. Some people are sitting looking at me right now. Their cell have died. They don't care. But it's their year of the flight. They have buried their cell in the realm of the spirit. It's buried. If they see cell leaders, they used to wonder that they shouldn't come out again. Just imagine you were God. Imagine you were God. And imagine that God, sorry, not God was you. God can never be you. Imagine that somebody is behaving like you and you are God. What will you do to the person? And you know, human beings have mind. God is really a merciful God. He will give you an instruction, you disobey all, then at the end, it's him you cry to. You now hear stupid worship. Even if you kill me, I will never let go. You think it's God that is putting you in all of those situations. God tells you to do something you don't do. Wrong things are happening, you still come to him. In fact, sometimes wrong things are not happening. You have not done what he wants you to do. You are not coming to ask for more things, more blessing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's my season of the fly. He that helped me to start a shop, he helped me to buy a car. He's been telling you about self. In fact, leave self aside. 5 souls weekly. You can't remember when last you won a soul. But when it comes to moneyology, there's no effort you cannot make. Some people know how to work things out in such unbelief. See, just tell somebody you have a job for 500,000, all you need is a laptop. The job starts tomorrow. No problem, sir. Sir, what time should I come? I don't want to be late. You now say with the laptop, of course, sir. What kind of RAM should I buy? Anyone is possible, sir. The money is not the account, but there's this sort of faith, this kind of God kind of faith. That's when you see somebody walking in the faith. You know that part of scriptures that Paul was speaking about? Live by the faith of the Son of Man who gave himself for us. The faith of God. This one is not faith towards God. God, when will you bring laptop? Mm-mm. It is they are carrying the laptop. Catartizo. The next place they are going to is Rupasharon. Sir, I have 200,000. I want to carry a laptop. I have 100,000. I just got a job. Before suit and documents, please, let's go to the person's side. That's it. The person cannot play 100,000. I can kneel down. I can do anything. You see emotions. Go and win a soul for Jesus. Will you come to Jesus? I know. Okay. Will come our church. No, when our church said, okay. So they said they will not come to our church, or that they say that. No effort. You will receive Jesus. No. No effort. God is looking at all of these things. He's a God of all knowledge, and by him actions are what? You know, while I was growing up, when I would see the hand of God in my life as seasons, several seasons, sometimes I begin to cry. Why I cry is because I truly think I don't deserve what is happening. Somebody called me a friend years ago, and he said to me, Simon, he said, sir, he said, the hand of the Lord is upon you. I said, yes, sir. He said, not because you have achieved everything God wants you to achieve. Many years ago, I was quite lazy that time. He said, but because you have the heart to want to do it and you make sincere effort. I said, yes, sir. He said, God said, if your faith is as little as a mustard seed, meaning if you make that effort already, he said, if you have the impetus to show that faith, he said, that mountain will be removed from there and we're going to another place. He said, just make those efforts. He said, that effort is what God is crowning this season. I tell you, it was a shift in my life that season. God loves people who make sincere effort. How many times have you knelt down and said, God, this myself is not working. Show me what to do. Show me what to do. Like you took 1 hour to pray. See, that act is what we call seeking first the kingdom. And what? Every other word will be added. Not everybody does not need to know what is happening. It is between you and God. These are not popular activities. You know, I'm not even posting it on Facebook. You have said you are not posting nothing. You are just doing it between you and God. And taking the records, 20K, 50K. He said it's over 100. Taking the records. Do you know what you are becoming in the realm of the spirit? A giant. A man that deserves a word. I'm telling you what I know. I am telling you what I know. See, I always tell people that Pastor Emma have heard me say this several times. I say people coming and being plugged here is not a coincidence. I understand it's God's mercy ultimately, but I understand also that what a man sows, he lives. I know the sacrifice that God used me to do in the life of people. People who are my friends, people who I submitted under my spiritual father, his friends. I mean, you will never catch me in dishonor. Not just to people who I respect, who are up there, but people who are even my friends. Whether with them, whether not with them. I can't even talk against somebody I respect. And somebody I don't know. My heart is positioned in such a way that I can't just talk about you wrongly. If I'm not, in fact, I don't even like rumors. You hear me sometimes teach here and I'll tell you things like, we heard this, but I don't believe it. Because the person have not come and said, this is me, oh, that's what. Because imagine yourself that you are being accused wrongly. Whatever you don't want people to do to you, don't do to other people. And everything they are saying is the wrong thing, yet it is going everywhere. It's going viral. Because people think that it is true. How would you feel? Now, if you don't like that, now, okay, why should people think that you did not do it? Sometimes when you are explaining that you did not do it, you even look like you did it. So it is possible that you are in that kind of situation. Now, if I can imagine that, then I can't just open my mouth and be saying what I heard about people. Because probably somebody has said plenty things about me also to other people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And so I believe that's one of the reasons my spiritual father told me, he said, what you have done, you will look for men. I mean, men will look for you. Men will look for you from every nation of the world. When they come, they will never go back. Years ago, it's on Facebook till now as message. After, I know many track record, but one of those days he called me in less than 5 minutes, I was in his house. And when I got there, I said, I want my clothes. I said, Ion, he was taking his bath. When we're done, we're going. And when we came back, I just got into my house and I saw a message. He said, I just want to tell you that you wonder. And he said all the things he wanted to say. So I always tell people, I said, with what God has given me the privilege to do as a young child, I believe I can never reap destruction. Are you listening to me tonight? I can never. But what a man sows, he reaps. People are not comfortable just doing what is right. They want to do what is popular. And sometimes, especially in the music world, I get so baffled. In the ministry generally, preachers of the word, singers. That's why sometimes when I see people who, you know, sometimes I say these things there. It is becoming the order of the day to break out from your church and be moving, just moving anyhow. In the name of you are a gospel singer. And sometimes a young pastor who is so promising rising. If Satan wants to destroy you, he will make you feel as if the person who is training you has become your competitor. You begin to hear words from other people that they don't want to allow you shine because the only thing you take is opening prayer. I've had people talk to me. You know, somebody came to my house. The person did not know he came to the wrong house. Sister, they say, my pastor wife. They say, I'm anointed than my pastor wife. I told them, no. But my pastor wife now is having problems with me. Because sometimes when I need to pray, the pastor, her husband, she should not be pulling her face. I'm just wondering what I can be in that assembly. And I looked at her. I said, who told you I'm more anointed? She now called the name. And he would just come to my friend and said, see, forget all of us know you are the most anointed guy in this. Forget that lady in my head. You are the most anointed. I said, that man wants you to die early. She was so shocked because she's complaining about her pastor's wife, right? I said, that man wants you to die early. God will cut you short. Whatever you think you have, you will not be able to manifest it. I said, well, you know what you do? Block that guy's number in the church. You will see that very soon, pastor will identify that guy and will leave the church. The pastor rented him a house, thinking he was a very nice person. The pastor now discovered, pursued him from the ministry. After a while, they told me, pastor drove him from the ministry. You people get up trying to say, that same young man, he was, you know, some kind of marriage, you see, look at it and say, apology. He was fighting a lady that I know somebody that wants to marry that lady. He was fighting that the lady should not marry. He would be convincing the lady not to marry the guy. When the lady and the guy separated, he now married the girl. The question is, why did you allow yourself to be married by such a person? It is even obviously wrong. See, because pastors say what God has joined, no man should separate, does not mean that it is God-oriented. It's just a religious way of joining marriages. That thing is like water everywhere. How many have given us? How many have scattered? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't think if you do the ceremony now, you're not saying we're against the world, we defeated them. Who did you defeat? Are we devils? It's yourself you defeated. At the end of everything, I told her, take a gift and go and give your pastor's wife. Go and give her. And tell her you honor her and celebrate her. She followed my advice. She went and did it. They came out, they got along. She now found out finally the pastor's wife does not have a problem with her. At the end, you get what I'm trying to say? She found out. The guy is the one that left the ministry. Some people will just stand up with wrong counsel. Satan will speak to them. They want to start causing chaos. How do you think Satan will want to distract whatever God is doing here? I've seen Satan's hand in this ministry. I know you've heard me say I've seen God's hand in this ministry. I've also seen the hand of Satan. Then, one day I was in my pastor's in the office and I said, Satan stepped his feet here. Not because I am preaching and I see Satan. Mm-mm. When I heard and I saw one or two wrong things, I say, the devil has stepped his leg here. And we will deal with him in the name of Jesus. Somebody left. This one, do this one, this one. What will now happen to the church? I remember one time somebody was like, sir, and the person is in this department. What will the people think? I said, to hell with whatever they think. The person just shook. I said, to hell. How can you tell me that somebody is that, Satan is that powerful? What I started, the Lord started with me as a child, he will end in one day. No man born of a woman. I said, if there are 52, let them all go if they believe. I do not explain anything to any soul. I said, I will never do that. Let everyone go. Let them clear the pews. Let me start again. Nobody is that big. I have been the one that has been raising people for years. You did not raise me. And it's not right. I raised you. Are you listening to me? Sometimes pastors are under that wrong situation. They begin to suffer unnecessarily in ministry. There are many sincere pastors who are suffering. Suffering for no reason. Because a young man goes out, and that's why we want you to be careful. But God gives you a pastor, not pastors. You cannot be in BSU and attending Union Greek lecture. You will fail as that. When they are teaching you for CA, they've not started it there. How will you do? They say, sometimes Satan comes and say, somebody in my office, I'm teaching this in the Tuesday service for the first time. Why do I have to hear one pastor? Why would you have to hear one pastor? Why do you have to hear diverse pastors? That is why you may be confused. And surely be confused. When Paul was raising people, he only sent associate pastors. People under him to go and make sure that what they've taught them stays with them. There's this wrong mindset we have there. They say we need to bring different streams. Different streams from different places. So that they make up. That's a total wrong mindset. The fivefold ministry, what will happen with them? What will they do to the body of Christ? To the church, I mean. The fivefold ministry, all the fivefold ministry are specifically supposed to what? Equip the saints. The Jesus in my heart, the Holy Spirit in my heart, is what everybody should have. He's omnipresent. He can be here and be in everybody at the same time. Alright? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? I've also heard emotional statement, and I stand here telling you boldly that it's emotional. And there is no man who can say that he alone has the whole counsel of God. Paul said, I submit to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul is a false preacher. He said, I do not withhold from you the whole counsel of God. Is Paul a false preacher? That's what Paul said. It's just emotional statement. If you have made mistake in doctrine, say you have made. Don't make statement like that. It is wrong. That way people will sit here now and say, the whole counsel of God is not, you have received in part. We have known in part. Yet you are misunderstanding the scripture. That's not what Paul meant there. Didn't you see the other part is that he said, now we know as we are known. Then he now said, when I was a child, I what? When I what? I what? Left child. You didn't see that part, that he had not grown? Is it by going to diverse places? Or by staying with the word of God? Some of these things are popular, wrong religious beliefs that we need to scatter. That's why God is doing something mighty in a place. Satan, you would think that it's God that is leading you. Satan wants to cause distractions sometimes. You will just sit down, Satan will say, open Women Gem Glorious Fire Ministry. You now open a prayer group inside church that have prayer department. Take for instance, now you know a Shama Intercessory Ministry. Then she now calls ladies in the church. Some are in prayer meeting department. Pastor Fina is on there on Friday. Where are some of these ladies? Sir, we have chain prayer with Sister Shama. In fact, those kind of sisters, I don't even call them sister again. It's Mama Shama. I was somewhere talking to a lady. She said, sir, I don't know. The pastor is against me. And God know what he has used me to do in this ministry. Sir, I can't tell the lady, number of ladies who have come to me that they are masturbating. I'm watching pornography. And blah, 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 blah. And God have used me to change their life. And I looked at her. I said, who did God use to change your life? So I can't deny that. But beyond reasonable doubt, it's my pastor. So, are you a leader in the ministry? She said, yes. What department? She said it. I said, that is how God would have used it to change other people's life. Not by creating a prayer group in a church. I said, that's Satan inspired. People just like to be at the forefront of things. They think that's what it means for them to want to fulfill destiny. You can be an usher and fulfill destiny. We don't want to say some things that will offend God. But if preachers open their heart and tell you what is in their heart, you'll be so amazed. You can be anywhere and fulfill ministry. Are you listening to me this wonderful evening? Anywhere. I told you a story of the usher that made sure Billy Graham became a Christian. Can you remember? They wanted to go, him and his friend. Two of them led the greatest, biggest crusade in the world before they died. Him and his best friend, they entered this church, they saw the pastor preaching. Nobody was seated. He was just preaching out loud, preaching, and the usher was just at the gates, at the door. And Billy Graham and his friend, they stepped in. When they saw nobody, they now went out. The usher now begged them so much, and told them to stay. And they stayed for a while. At the end of it, they were touched by the message they received Jesus. Now I ask a question. Billy Graham and his friend now, who were mighty men for God, which one did the greatest impact? Was it the pastor who preached the gospel, or the usher who made sure that they stayed? When I asked the question somewhere, people were just doing this debate. Usher. A friend said an answer. I said, yeah, even though the usher did something powerful, it is the gospel that is the power of God that changed them. I said, yeah, back career. It is proof. But you see, you really cannot tell who really made more impact. But the two of them make so much impact in the people's life. Yes, that's how it is. Without the usher, he will not be interfering with the gospel. There will not be Billy Graham today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? All of you are prophetically aligned here for people's life to be changed. That's what I'm trying to say. There's this wave that came out one time to just make people start neglecting the local church. start neglecting the local church. We're in a generation that a regular church, most people don't have understanding of the basis of the word. As a pastor, Mr. Posting something on his status, I was just wondering the answers he would get. What is the gospel or something like that? Please, can you just tell me? You'll be so amazed what people will tell you the gospel is. I think Pastor Chris, one of his teachers that I was watching, one day he asked in a minister's conference, who can tell me what was Jesus' primary message? What was the message of the Bible? Come and see how high-ranking ministers were trying to hide away from the microphone. He brought it to one and said, No, sir. For a moment, the reality hits them. What is actually the message of the gospel? And they are thinking it. What is actually the message of the gospel? Now the question is, if pastor does not know the message of the gospel, how about the people? And sometimes you people are moved by noise. You think noise is reality. Yeah, we need to get me to REM. I've been talking against those things. We can't come into REM. REM's where this and that. And they begin to explain cloud and moon and waves. I hear somebody shouting. Yes. That does not have any weight in the spirit. The beginning of our faith is who Christ. The end of our faith is Christ. Don't be moved to and fro by deceitful ideologies from man's wisdom. There's no confidence in this generation, and we need to. If you are wrong, you are wrong. Respectfully. Somebody says ambiguous thing and Christ is not in it. It is not a message. It does not point to Christ. It is not. And you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Boldly yet very kind. The spirit of not to fear again, but the spirit of what? Of what? Very important. So you got to wake up. Cell leaders, HODs, whatsoever. Some of you, they've given responsibility for 5 members. You have not started anything if you don't obey the Lord. You have not started. See, I put it to you. Huh? I don't know if you heard this somewhere or anywhere. Well, I've said it before. Abraham was called great because he obeyed the Lord. Are you listening to me? His obedience was why he was called great. Check the Bible. Plenty of people do great things, but Abraham was called so great by the Lord because he what? Obeyed the Lord. For obedience is better than what? For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are what? You must learn to listen. You must learn to listen. And the annoying thing is this. If Satan wants to destroy you, you know, some of you come from homes, respectfully speaking, broken homes, and you are trusting God to be the one to break that cycle. But if you are not careful, you know, you think Satan will come to you in the night and say, you are not going to break that cycle, and you try to press your neck. That's not how Satan will come most times. You came from a home that almost all the ladies, before they get married, they have a child out of wedlock. All the men. And things like that. You think Satan came and pressed their neck to have child out of wedlock? It starts somewhere. A lot of times people, because they don't know that point that it starts from, they miss it and allow Satan just take advantage of them. Listen carefully. Sometimes it starts from pride. You are just being proud. The word of the Lord is coming to you are being proud. You're getting offended. And it's much you get offended. Do you know that's a seed? This offense will grow. The cup will full. It will come to a point. It will become rebellion. Now you are rebelling against the things of God. Satan is excited. He has separated you. That same thing that your sister did, that your brother did, you know, I've been looking for. You know, one time I got the news that someone left here and the next thing was marriage. And I said, interesting. Marriage? After just leaving? And the person had been praying, I want to break the circle in my family. When I went to the house, I entered my room and I knelt down and said, God, please, for the labor of many years, save this person. I do prayers like this a lot of times. I just go to my closet and I pray. Only God knows my heart. And I pray, Lord, please, let this not happen. Save this person. You think that's just a mere decision, casual decision, I just go and marry? Sometimes that's the beginning of the worst things of your life. And somebody who is supposed to come and save a family from this rubbish that's been happening in this lineage is getting drowned in the same situation. It's getting drowned. Before you know now, because of your disobedience and not wanting to listen to your leaders and your pride, You are now away from the world. You can never become better than you interfacing with the world. Remember 1 John 3 6. They that abide are the ones that have seen and what? Know. Let's say it together. They that what? Are the ones that have and what? Know. Abiding is what determines the seeing and thereof the knowing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if you are not abiding in the word and the word abiding in you, you will not know the word, you will not encounter God, and you will not live like Satan does not exist. You keep on living in sin. So as long as Satan gets you to go away from God's presence, God's people, the school of the spirit, the church where you listen to the word, then what happens there? Because you are not getting interface with the word. Now, and let me say this before I even say this point, you may wonder, I will go to another church. If God says this is your church, it has to be your church. You know one thing with God, if God said this is your church, you cannot change the church. So I want to go to that church. In this church, they are kind. Everybody talks to me like a queen. In that church, go to where you are respected, not where you are just being managed. I wish you it is the case. A lot of times where you are running away from, it is more like you are running away from where they are telling you the truth. So at that point now you leave. When you leave now, what happens to you? You find out that you this, let me give you a name. Give me a name for a lady. That is not in this church room. You this Bianca, I use Bianca on Sunday. If they bring Bianca in this church, you should stop giving me that example. But since we don't have Bianca, let me start with Bianca. You see Bianca now, Sister Bianca on TCMI, Glory Careers Ministry, asking Brother Bernard, are you home? I want to come and see you. Sister Bianca, for what? I beg, I want to come. I said, but your church say make me another fool. I bet that church not tired. You the house. You find yourself another law. Are you beginning to try and say you are not interfacing with the word? You not think everything is just to give everything to time and chance. I'm not going to church does not mean that I will not survive. Now you are not hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. Because according to Brother James in Scripture, Apostle James, he says, when we come to the Word of God, to the church, to listen to the Word of God every time, he said, it is more like in being interfaced with the perfect law of liberty. He said, sometimes the ones that don't do the Word are the ones that when they have seen themselves in the mirror, they go out and forget what they look like. That simply means as you are hearing the Word of God, we are painting the picture of who you are to you every time. Are you guys hearing what I'm trying to say? But every time now, you are, because of your offense, because somebody talked to you in church, you don't like before, because you did something and leadership for you, now you are left. You think that's just everything. Satan has started a good work. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you can still feel the fire. In fact, you have gone to another place and shouted and prayed all night. But where God have instructed you to be, you are not there. And there's a deficiency. And what happens there? You begin to see, sense stupid appetite. You think it's you, it's not you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? Brother Bernard, can I come? And before you know now, you think you see one Glory Careers girl, you know. Oh, one Glory Careers boy. Our enemies will start announcing the story. Of course, those things don't move me. I'll be like, thank God for Glory Careers. And I move. Hallelujah to Jesus. But that's what causes that kind of situation. Before you see, as a young man now, stupid appetite arising. There are days I sit here, I can sense somebody does not know what he's doing. He does not, she does not. Because a lot of times you need to really be so discerning to know somebody's not in the right frame of mind. There was a situation I got to know about one time. Before the situation, I got to know about the situation, I called the leader of the department. I said, what is happening to that person? The atmosphere, the this, the that. And they began to tell me the thing. I said, so if I don't ask, nobody will tell me. But I sensed the atmosphere, I could pick it. This is not okay. It's not okay. Something is not right. Hallelujah to Jesus. Before you know, you'll be at home. You who does not gossip, your own responsibility now is gossiping. Those are the wrong fruit. You love to gossip. And gossipers always put a lot of innocent people in trouble. I don't like gossipers. I don't like to be around gossipers. If there's anything that breaks my heart so much, I hate it. If I sense gossipers, the way I address you, you will know I hate. That's why we're in this church. You will never hear on it. Somebody come and is trying to tell. We don't buy into those rubbish. Don't bring them here. Are you listening to me? Gossipers are exhibiting the character of the devil. That ability called, what is it called in the book of Ezekiel? Traitors. Like you see in the book of the prince, Lucifer, I suppose. The abundance of the traitors. You see yourself now, you have girlfriend or boyfriend, you see them, or fiance, or husband, or wife. It's amiable. You think you are just having, if I'm not down my boy with my wife, who will I do? You talk about people. What is true, you talk. What is not true, you talk. Who even told you are supposed to talk about what is true? Celebrate people's weakness. You are happy that they did it. And you say you are a Christian. Hallelujah to Jesus. These are the fruit you begin to see. You begin to gossip your leaders. I knew what God started with us on campus. I knew it so strong. It was a serious wave of unions on campus. A serious wave of glory. And I knew when Satan started raising some stupid things. And that's why I rose so much with the fire of administration. I knew. And when you are a child, you do everything you want to do. But when you are grown up, one takes you by the hand and leads you to places you don't want to go to initially. And I said, no, we have to come to this place of responsibility. Before you know, talk. Before you know, this one. Then the great thing God is doing, we are saying we want God to change the system through us. We are not becoming victims of the situation. Or we are getting scattered. Before you know this situation that happened, that one here, that this one, lift up, this one, is a devil. It's a devil. Somebody came to my house many years ago. I said, sir, one of your boys. I said, which of the boy? Blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. He said, yeah, I started walking in this place. I said, sir, I was hearing that you did not permit him to go. I said, did we have an agreement for permission or anything? Did we ever sit down? He said, sir, yeah, that's a rumor he was. He's telling people, sir, what if you... It's one of those people, if I call his name, he's so shocked. He was in my school of spirit on campus too. He said, sir, why don't you just call him and bless the work? I said, you may think I'm not kind, but there's this small grace in my spirit altering me right now. Else you should have stand up and leave this house now. He said, sir, I'm very, very sorry. And believe me, I told him sorry for yourself. And I stood up and entered the other room and locked myself. So I was wondering, you think you are kinder than me? Because he started a walk, he left this church and started a walk, and I told him that he was wrong. I don't support people because they are close to me. I said, you are wrong. And now I'm asking, what message are you preaching that your pastor is not preaching? He says, it's an apostolic mandate. I said, I don't see anything different from what you are doing and what your pastor is doing. Be there and say. He said, no. He went, he started, got married. Before you know, he closed it after 2 years. That he doesn't think he can do ministry. I got so pained. I got pain from head to toe. I said, what a disgrace and what a shame. We warned you. You did not listen. Now this is after this talk now that this happened. Because I told him that same, when he was going, I said, even you know I don't believe you ought to start a home. So when the thing now happened to him, he now wanted to come back to this town and serve his pastor. When he had 2 children, wherever he stayed, I told him, how do you start this thing? He says, I want to relocate. I said, okay. But think about it. Don't relocate in 1 week and go back again. When he went back, he said, sir, I don't think I can relocate. He now went to another ministry. I went and applied for something. And he's working there as a staff. I said, and I asked him, is this God's will for you? He says, sir, I know it's not God's will, but I have to survive with my family. Look at the situation. Now, that same young man, after a while we met, he says, sir, I was taking for granted what you were telling us to this. That young man, now this, what he's doing, this, what he's doing. I said, when we tell you people sometimes, you think we're just being unnecessarily emotional. Can God call people? Yes. What if people become foolish? Should we agree that it's God that called them? No. Can Satan use this kind of things to scatter a work? Yes. He can distract. Of course, he can scatter. But he can distract the attention of people. Before you know, there are talks here and there. Listen, the effort you make in making sure that the move of God is sustained in a place is what truly defines you as a true Christian. This little effort that nobody sees out there. Nobody sees out there. Is what really defines you as a genuine Christian. Paul will tell so-so boys, stay here and make sure what I've taught is sustained. You, travel there. These little things. That is why you see that nobody is trusting God for the mantle of Timothy. They all want mantle of Elijah. Timothy was a sent one. They were sending him. Like boy. So he's not powerful. But go and read about the sacrifice of that man. The man that followed Paul into prison. Without fear. Paul is my father. He entered the prison. Paul will tell him, go there and do this. Sustain the people here. That's what makes a mighty man. Was pastoring, they were given instruction. Give yourself wholly to this thing so that the testimony will appear to everybody. Blah, blah, blah. A good minister of the gospel is supposed to be. He is working and learning in the job. It's not popularity. Alright? And the true popularity does not even come that way. Sometimes there's what we call noise that people assume for popularity. Noise. It is true impact that really gives you the ideal kind of popularity. The ideal popularity. Not the activities yet. You can be popular for activities, but it is true impact that really makes you truly popular and sustain that popularity for a long period of time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You got to grow. And I lay hands on people and they fell. And so what? Keep on cleaning church. I lay my hands on her and she recovered. And so what? Keep on cleaning church. Didn't you read in your Bible that people who went to serve tables were men filled with the Holy Ghost, firebrand? And they counted a privilege. Say, look for men filled with the Spirit, fervent in the Lord. Let them serve tables. We will give ourselves to the word and doctrine. A powerful topic, and I don't think I can finish any, so I will just try to stop here, because the way the note is going, if I try to continue, we will not leave here today. Are you understanding me tonight? So let me say this last part. There are small groups of leaders who never challenge because challenge brings discomfort, and discomfort brings complaints. And complaints make the leader feel like a failure. That is not pastoring. That is all then's management. And the congregation is not innocent either. Paul warned Timothy, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. 2 Timothy 4:3. The congregation that demands to be pleased trains the preacher to please them. Both sides sustain the same market of false converts and will be destroyed eventually. Now here we need to understand before we close. God's approval and human approval do not always occupy the same location. Moses was unpopular with Pharaoh. Elijah was called a troubler of Israel. Are you listening? Elijah was called what? Because he wanted to do God's will. Jeremiah was thrown into a what? A cistern. Remember the story? John the Baptist was what? Beheaded. Paul was beaten, stoned, and what? Shipwrecked. Jesus was what? Huh? Not one of them was trending in their moment. Yet not one of them failed. The prophet who loses the crowd to keep the word is more successful than the prophet who keeps a crowd by losing the word. Success in the economy of God is not measured in applause. It is measured in faithfulness. Somebody say faithfulness. Say faithfulness. The question is not, did they like what I said? The question is, did I say what was true before God? I think this is where a lot of people, I predict, will have problem at the end of the parousia. Well done, faithful and what? Good servants. It's more bigger than what the crowd are doing right now. There are very key things. The Bible says anything not done in faith is sin. Anything not done in what? The New Testament is so powerful and ambiguous that you can never imagine. Meaning if God did not inspire that your decision, it is a sin. If God did not what? Inspire that your decision, it is a sin. I will leave some of those things to Sunday. Because we are in a world today where people do wrong things, and because they are popular, nobody talks about it, and people just believe it and say it's okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. But of course, people have to understand that whatever not done in by the leadings of, let's say, bow your heads and pray and say, God, help my heart.
I'm sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.